Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Porch Chair and Firefall Talk Radio, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is where we are live, usually, and you can always listen to whatever takes place here, archived later on, almost immediately after the show. It's up there, and for many, many days and years afterwards, for almost 5 years worth of Bible studies and guests and reflections in the dark here on Firefall Talk Radio. We're here tonight to continue our discussion of disabling deception, disabling the deception of the enemy, as well as dealing with having our walk disabled by it. Every Wednesday night, every week, we try to get back to basics, taking a look at the Word and especially the Book of Acts Church, going deeper into what was said and paying attention to the red letters, the words of the Lord. That's kind of the theme for 2015, getting back to basics and the red letters. Red letter basics could be what this is all about. In case you didn't know, church age is not over. What took place in the upper room is just as much for now as it was the day of Pentecost. There's more to your spiritual walk. And there's more for you to do with Yeshua, and there's more for you to do for him. And it's going to take us doing it together. But more than that, it's going to take the Holy Spirit doing it with us, the Parakletos, the one that walks beside us. That's the only way we're going to get it done. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for supporting what we do. If you get the Porch newsletter, it went out this week. If you don't see it, check your spam folder, because sometimes because it's a newsletter with a mass mailing, it'll get kicked into that folder. You need to tell your email client that the porch at onsolomonsporch.org is not spam. It's something you want to get. And that is the email to write us to, theporch, one word, theporch, at onsolomonsporch.org. The website is not functioning as yet. I'm not worried about it. Not going to sweat the small stuff, but the email works. I put a word out on Sunday night, and I'll put it out again. If you would like a series of teachings on spiritual warfare and be able to access them online or even participate in live streaming classes or seminars, tell me. Email me your questions and the areas of concern for me to begin to work on and to tailor these teachings. I think that'll be a better way and a more productive way for us to interact together and for you to learn, and for those of us that want more to begin to create an online fellowship and interact with one another and begin to pray together, as opposed to you sending me your prayer request and me praying for you. We can all begin to pray together. I put out the word for praise reports and prayer requests to start each show with, each session here on the porch. I like that better than show. This isn't really a show per se. Debbie from Oregon sent us a praise report. She praises that our loving Father is in total control. That's where our hope and safety is, in him alone. And she's thankful for that. Amen. She also has a prayer request for the salvation of her husband and for the Lord to reach his heart. Let me say something real quick here. And we're kind of into it already, and we haven't even got to the prayer and the sound of the show far. Now let me address it before I forget. If you have a loved one that you're praying for to be saved, thumping them in the head with the Bible and beating them up with the Word probably won't get it done. You have to love them into the kingdom. You have to pray them into the kingdom, and you have to let the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, open their eyes. And I'm not saying that Debbie's doing that. I'm just saying this is what came to mind because I talked to some people who are constantly in their loved one, their son, their daughter, whoever it is they're praying for. They're in their face quoting scripture and telling them what they need. That's not going to work, guys. I'm sorry. That doesn't work. Somebody who's running from the Lord or somebody who's bound up in something doesn't need you to heap condemnation on them. What they need is to understand that you're there, that you love them, that that love is unconditional, and that their entrance into the kingdom will be about freedom, not about bondage. They want bondage. There's thousands of churches out there that they can go to and be in religious bondage. So love them, pray for them, be diligent, pray fervently for them, and stand in the gap for them until it happens. Annie in British Columbia, she had a prayer answered. She got a job, but the job was on a hard concrete floor, and it triggered an old injury that caused her to have to quit the job. So she's believing for the job that the Lord wants her to have. So remember Debbie in Oregon and Annie in British Columbia. Now, folks, when I begin to give you these praise reports like I have for them and for my family and for SRT, this is recorded. There's no way to forget it. You can go back and listen to it. Well, what was he saying? Who am I supposed to pray for? Pull it up and listen to it. Write it down. Make notes. Keep a prayer journal if you need to. We're in a war. It's dark out there. The depression and the oppression is heavy. The enemy is vibrant. He is alive, and he's looking to devour someone. But guess what? The lion of the tribe of Judah, he's alive too, and he's vibrant, and he's looking to fight for us and with us. So, Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit, which you've given to us, and we come to you as your children, boldly approaching the throne of grace and mercy, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. Whew. We love you. Oh, we love you. We love you so much. No matter how old we get, we sometimes feel like those little children who wrap themselves around their father's neck or around his leg and just saying, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. And I know he never gets tired of hearing it. Lord, we love you too. We're desperate for you. We're desperate for a touch from you. We're desperate for your Holy Spirit. Help us now as we take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah. Claiming the mind of Messiah and casting down every vain imagination that would exalt itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. Help us. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for what you did. We thank you for what you're doing. And we look with eager anticipation for your return. Touch us tonight. Say what you want us to hear. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we've been talking about disabling the deception of the enemy, but we've also been talking about how the power of deception can disable us. What is deception? Well, deception, if you are taking notes, is a noun. It's the act of deceiving or the state of being deceived. Deception is something that deceives or is intended to defraud or deprive you of legal right or qualification or of capacity. Its purpose is to make you ineffective or incapable physically, morally, or intellectually. It will make you unable or unfit. It'll destroy your ability. It will incapacitate you. it will disqualify you. Synonyms for it are to cripple, to maim, as I said, to incapacitate, to lame, to mutilate. Deception changes us. Disabling us changes us. All these things, deception and disable, is the enemy's intention for you, for your walk, for your family, for your life, for everything about you. The shepherd came so that we would have life and life have abundantly. The enemy, the wolves in sheep's clothing, they come to kill, steal, and destroy. They want to make us disabled. They want to incapacitate us with deception. They want to make us unable to do what needs to be done to help anyone, not even be able to help ourselves. They want to send us into such a severe depression or funk to where you don't want to move. You want to crawl up into a fetal position. You want to give up. You don't want to pray. You don't want to witness. You don't want to stand. You don't want to do anything. And even when having done that, the enemy won't stop. They'll even kick you when they're down, when you're down. We have to resist, but we have to trust in the Lord. You can't do this in your own strength. Over the last week, I'm getting phone calls and emails and requests for help. And folks, I'm not going to be able to travel for another month or two. So everything I do is going to be done via the phone or Skype, or once we get the seminars. That's the only way I'm going to be able to help you for now. Once the Lord turns me loose and funds SRT and the porch and we can hit the road, I'll go wherever I need to go to do whatever I need to do to stand up to whatever needs to be stood up to. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I serve the God Most High, the Most High God, the one who spoke everything into existence. And I will stand toe-to-toe against anything that's out there in his power and in the Lord's authority. And I'll do so and be victorious because he will be with me. Now, we talked about Matthew 24. That's kind of what has inspired all of this. I read Matthew 24 from verse 3 to verse 31, and I'm going to do it again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I got a text message from someone asking about faith. Why is our faith so weak? And this is what I said. Faith is like a muscle. You must exercise it. And it must be fed. It must be nourished. Your spirit, man, your spirit woman, whatever it is, it must be fed, it must be nourished, it must be exercised, it must be strengthened. And how? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must read the word, you must hear the word. That's why these Bible studies are so vital. They're free. You don't have to pay for them. You can download them. You can listen to them at any time. You can share them with anyone. Freely it's been given to me, freely I give to you, with the hope that you'll be blessed by it and you'll bless this ministry and bless me so that I can keep doing this. I'll do it anyway, but like the high priest in the time of Nehemiah, there may come a point where I'll have to leave the wall and to go out into the field to do what needs to be done to survive. But until that time, here I am, Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. And it's amazing here. And I'm going to stop and kind of explain things. They were just in front of the whole crowd. They were basking in the Lord and being a part of his inner circle. And they were all cool and they're there. But then they go to him privately. We don't understand. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Yeshua said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now, look at the question that they asked. Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Take heed that no one deceives you tells me that the first thing you should know about the sign of his coming and the end of his age, that it will be preceded by deception. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And there are many false teachers and wolves in sheep clothing and false prophets and hirelings and pulpits who talk about Jesus as Messiah. But he's not their Messiah. And they do it simply to get your money or get your support or to deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I see so many people on Facebook. Oh, this earthquake and that war and this election, like the one that just happened in Israel. Oh, and they're all caught up in all these things, and they're all worried about this and all worried about that. Stop. All of that is simply to give you a sign of his impending return. Oh, they built the altar for the third temple. That's great, but that temple's not for me. That temple's for the Jews, and will trigger the exposure and the coming out of the Antichrist. So my only excitement about the third temple is it means the king is coming back. Don't be deceived, and don't be troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, which takes us back to don't be deceived. And because lawlessness, which is sin, which is not abiding by the rule of the kingdom of God, the love of many will grow cold. And if you can't see that with what's going on today, you're blind. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This one's the rest of this is specifically to the Jew. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea, hear me again, those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who was on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who was in the field not go back to get his clothes, which means run. Run really fast. Grab your loved ones, whatever. Go. Just go. You can't stay. It's going to be that dangerous. But what are those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days? Because it's very tough to travel that way. It's very tough to run. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And here's the thing that wraps it all up. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. If the Lord himself does not get up off the throne and stops what's going on in the world at that moment, no one will survive. The intention of the enemy, the intention of the fallen angel, the intention of HaSatan and those that align themselves with him is to destroy all humanity, to subject it, and to rule and reign this world. Over this world and everything and everyone in it. So unless he shortens the days, no flesh will be saved. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, and oh, there, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to what? To deceive, if possible, even the elect. We're seeing that deception now. in supposed churches all over the world. And then verse 25, see, I have told you beforehand. No excuse here. You can't say I didn't know. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming from the throne, and he's coming in a flash. He's not going to come in the desert, and he's not going to be in the inner rooms, and he's not going to be born as a little baby again. Been there, done that, not doing it again. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And I believe those powers are both natural and supernatural. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels out with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But it all starts with, take heed that no one deceives you. The key to enduring and overcoming in the end times is what? Not to be deceived. Do not be deceived. Say it with me. I will not be deceived. And now let me let you in on a little clue. You may still be deceived even after saying that, because the enemy's really good at this. But if you are, if you get fooled, repent and get back in the right relationship and alignment with the word. Come on. His warning is, don't let anyone mislead you based upon claiming he's the Messiah. So the deception starts where? From within the religious and theological community. The deception starts from within. The deception starts with the familiar. But you need to be more than familiar with the Lord and with the information about him. You better be personal. You better be intimate. You better know him and know about him. I'm going off road here, as I say, in Reflections in the Dark. If you're going to be fooled by TV shows and movies which give you a form of the Messiah that's not biblical, or give you biblical stories that are completely in error according to the word, and you're going to rant and rave and fall all over yourself for these demonic tools, then you've been deceived. Because deception is also misdirection. Oh, don't look over there. Don't look at the chapter and verse of the word. Look over here. This makes more sense in 2015, which then means deception becomes a choice. Ah, this is where it really gets tough. And you may ask, why would I choose to be deceived? Well, we are very self-serving creations, and he make us that way. Sin did, the fall did, and we are deceived when we want to be deceived, when our choices don't line up with the word, when we want Ishmael instead of Isaac. Ishmael's God's permissive will. Isaac is his perfect will. When we say, hey, we want the child of the bond slave, we want the child born of intimacy outside the marital relationship, instead of we want what's born from above. We want what is born from integrity and commitment and perfection. Any Ishmael in your life will cause the same problems that Ishmael has caused for the children of Israel. His permissive will is, God, Father, is it okay? Can I do this? This is the prayer I hear people say. Well, I prayed about it, and I said, can I do this? And his answer was yes, because he answered the question that you asked. The question wasn't, should I do this? The question was, can I do this? And that's Ishmael. should I, or what do you want for me? What is your perfect will for me? What is Isaac? Should be the prayer. But the reason most people don't pray that is because they know what the answer will be. And they want what they want. They want it now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. Now, remember, this is written to 2 Thessalonians probably 30 years or more after the crucifixion and the resurrection, within a generation of the people, most of whom probably saw the Lord, many of whom at least anyway. They're already troubled in mind and spirit about his coming. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Messiah had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. There we are again. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, which can only happen by the Antichrist in the third temple. Therefore, it could not have happened yet. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and still at work, by the way, Paul. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, Hasatan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Oops, deception, perish, correlation, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's coming a day, folks, that by choice, by choosing pleasure over righteousness, by choosing the lie, by accepting the delusion, by accepting the signs and lying wonders of the fallen ones, that people will choose damnation. They will choose eternal separation from the Father. He will simply, on the day of judgment, read them their choice. But James chapter 1, starting with verse 12, says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. So in one thing, we have judgment against those who want their selfish desires and their pleasures and all the sin and all the deception. But blessed, according to James 1:12, is the man and the woman who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone else. For each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Look at verse 14 of James 1. Is tempted ties to by his own desires. So what tempts them? The devil? No. He simply shows them what they desire and they choose it. Because then verse 15 says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Here we are again. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is no darkness. There is no deception. Everything's out in the open. Everything's out in the light. If you're deceived, if you're tempted, it's by your own desires, and the devil played on what you gave him. Stop. Whatever your temptations are right now, confront them. Take them before the Lord. Put them under the blood. Be set free from them and end the deception. Maybe your marriage is not going real well. Maybe the relationship you're in that you've made a commitment to is not going real well. You're going through a rough spot. Suddenly somebody comes along. I'd rather have that. That's the temptation. Those are your desires. Put it under the blood. Repent. Endure temptation. When it comes, recognize it. People are tempted by lust. They're tempted by pornography. They're tempted by self-satisfaction through various means. And you know what that's all about? That's all about filling an emptiness with an external stimulus from the world, from the flesh, from the devil, not from above. That emptiness can be loneliness. That emptiness can be caused by rejection, could be caused by lack of self-worth. It can be caused by a lot of things. Don't give in to it. Endure. Fight back. But don't let the fear of it, and don't let it disable you. See, this is where you become disabled. This is where the enemy wants to make you ineffective, to incapacitate you. The fear of your temptation can disable you just as much as the temptation itself. You need to trust that no matter what, the Lord is going to walk with you through the temptation, that the Holy Spirit's not going to abandon you, that conviction will never be condemnation. But come face to face with what your situation is. And how did you feed it? And how did you water it? And how did you empower it? I've talked about our old nature. The flesh nature is like a zombie. It's looking to feed on flesh. It's looking to come back to life. And the minute it gets some, it wants more. Starve it. You have to starve it, and you have to cage it, and you have to let it die. The other deception that will disable you is, I'm just a sinner and I can't change. It's how I'm wired. It's the way I am. God loves me just as I am. And I'll say to you, that may be true, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Whatever your sin is, whatever your flavor is, whatever it is that has you, don't excuse it. Confront it. Get rid of it. Take it before the throne. He will never condone your sin. He will love you. He will set you free, but he will never, ever condone your sin. Anyone who tells you that he does is part of that deception, that end time deception. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 7. New Living Translation this time. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. Here we are again. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Messiah is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. That's probably his motto. He probably has a plaque on his wall. Sinning since the beginning, millions of satisfied customers. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. We're here to put him out of business, basically. It doesn't matter that business is good. He needs to be put out of business. When people keep on sinning, they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. and those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life, his spirit, is in them, so that they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. You will mess up. You will make mistakes. Try your best not to pursue holiness, pursue being like your Father. But when you do mess up, because you are being transformed day to day from glory to glory until he gives you that glorified body, repent. Get into right relationship. Get into righteousness with him. Another thing that will disable us and to deceive us is fear. Fear is a disabling deception that we must disable. And fear, F-E-A-R, is not always false evidence appearing real. I love these people. They put up these posters. Oh, fear is nothing. Fear is nothing at all. It's false evidence appearing real. Tell that to the person experiencing it, because sometimes the cause of the fear is real. If I'm standing in front of something that's a couple of thousand years old and it's made itself visible in this dimension, and maybe I don't understand how to deal with it, don't know my authority, don't know the power of the Lord in me, guess what? The fear that I feel, and I'm saying, not saying I do, but I'm just using myself in that example, is real. Sometimes the perception makes it real. It's real to them. And I think it's disingenuous and it's insulting to say to somebody, oh, that's false evidence appearing real. It's not real. Well, my heart's racing. It feels real. I'm perspiring. It feels real. The threat of this thing, possible mortal danger, is real. Fear will disable you. And one of the greatest fears that will shut you down is the fear of man, or fearing people. Proverbs 29:25, New King James says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The New Living Translation says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. What does fearing people mean? If you're a people pleaser, it means you can't say no, even if it's to your own detriment, even if it means it's going to cause you harm, even if it means it's going to do something that you don't want done, it's going to make you late for something, keep you from doing something you're supposed to do. Fear of people will disable you. Fear of rejection from people will disable you. It will cause you to shut down. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be helpful. I'm not saying we shouldn't want to help people. But if you can't say no, if you have a compulsion to say yes, then you need to figure out why. And I will tell you why I think it is. When you are a people pleaser, it's because somebody has created a situation in your life, a perception, an emotion, a mental bondage, that says your self-worth comes from others. Your self-worth comes from the Lord. Your self-worth comes from above. And he can help you say no. If you're in that position, you're one of those people, you need to probably back up and pray about every decision. And don't make decisions based on fear. See, the world would rather you please it. The crowds would rather you please it. I will tell you from the pulpit and from the church offices, they will manipulate you into saying yes when you want to say no. They will manipulate you into putting a check into the offering, even when the spirit inside of you says no. The whisper in our ears of the enemy that keeps us from hearing the words of the Lord will cause us to fall in this world. Those whispers, those fears, those manipulations will cause you jobs, friends, families, respect, acceptance, But most of all, it will cause you to lose self-worth. You won't like yourself no matter how much you help others. Now, I know that doesn't preach well from the pulpit. They would rather you give and give and give and give and give and give until you have nothing left to give, burn you out, empty you out, and then hope somebody else comes along to take your place because now you can't be used anymore. Another fear that will disable you, and also part of a deception, is letting others know that you are born again and in right relationship with the Father. Confessing Him before them. Oh, this is my relationship with the Lord is very private between me and Him. Wasn't very private for Him hanging on the cross and shouldn't be for you either. Whoever confesses Him before men, He will also confess before His Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Him before men, He will also deny before His Father who is in heaven. And the confession is not just by our words, it's also by our actions. Our actions can inspire someone else to make their own choice on the topic. And I've met many people who have chosen that they don't want to be Christians or be, quote, born again because what they've seen. But I'll also say, hey, that's an excuse. Well, I don't go to church because of all the hypocrisy I saw in church. Okay. How's that working out for you? How's your family doing? How you doing? How's your walk doing? Are you really strong enough in the word and you spend enough time in prayer? And do you and your family study and pray and fellowship together? See, that's another deception. Oh, I don't need the church. I don't need brothers and sisters. I don't need to pray with anybody. I don't need to come together with friends or family and have worship services. I'll also take it to the other extreme. Just because you go sit in somebody's building, just because you do go to church and sit in a pew, that won't do anything either. It's about relationship. It's about you. Sitting in a pew doesn't change your life. It's who you sit with in the Lord. Are you sitting with Him? Are you starting a day with Him? Do you love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your spirit? Do you read His word? Are you hungry to know more about Him? Do you praise Him? Do you pray? How do you start your day? Do you leave your house? Oh, I'm going to pray in the way. What happens if you get into an accident on the way before you start praying? Folks, the minute you open your eyes, the minute you recognize, hey, I'm alive again, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Like I said in my book, and it's a part of my life, when I get outside with the dogs in the darkness, because they like to get up early, is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator of the universe. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Help me through this day. Guard me, protect me and my family. You can't be a friend of God. You can't be a friend of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. You can't be friendly with the throne room and be friendly with the world. Can't do it. That is a deception. Oh, I can do this. I can go here. I can go there. And I'm okay with Him and He's okay with me. He may be okay with you, but He's not okay with your choices. He may love you the way a father loves his son, but as anyone who's had children and seen them in disobedience and make bad decisions, you still love them, but you don't want them to make that decision. You have to refuse to compromise no matter what the cost. He's done too much for you to even consider not standing for Him or not standing with Him. Joshua 24:15. Just before they're about to enter the promised land, just before they're about to enter, cross over the Jordan. And by the way, there's giants, there's Nephilim, there's evil things in that promised land, but that's where the land of milk and honey is. That's where the fruit is. That's where the blessings are. And that's where He's sending you. And Joshua told the children of Israel, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Yes, I'm talking to you. choose who you will serve. Will you serve the Lord? Will you serve the kingdom of darkness? Will you serve the Lord? Or will you serve the world? Will you serve the Lord? Or will you serve the flesh? Who is in control of your life and whom do you serve? And the amazing thing about the boldness of Joshua in 24:15 is if you get up to Joshua chapter 1, there seems to be a problem. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, this is the Lord speaking in the New Living Translation. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. And then verse 9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua had an issue with fear, because even later in chapter 8, verse 1, he says to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. They've just gotten their butt beat at Ai. They messed up. They didn't do what the Lord said, and they lost. Now he wants to send him back to be victorious, and he has to tell him, do not be afraid or discouraged. Maybe you failed. Maybe you took a stand against the enemy. Maybe you tried to stand up in faith, and you got knocked down. The word of the Lord says, get up. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Later on, Joshua 10:8, do not be afraid of them, for I have given you victory over them. Yes, there are fallen things out there. There are demonic powers out there. There's a lot going on in the world right now that should get your attention, but it shouldn't frighten you, because he is with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. All right? Maybe you messed up. Maybe you made a mistake. This is the process. As Paul said, it's a marathon. And the only person who wins is the person that keeps running. Matthew 14, verse 24, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land. They're in a strong wind. They're in the Sea of Galilee. Strong wind has arisen, and they're fighting heavy waves. And, you know, they're getting ready to go down, so the waves are coming. The storm, it's the time of year. They probably shouldn't be out on the water at night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and they see Jesus, Yeshua, walking toward them, because he's walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost, because there was legends of ghosts on the waters at night on the Sea of Galilee. And anybody who knows anything about the supernatural, it's pretty hot and heavy about 3 o'clock in the morning. So here they are, they're afraid, they're wet, they're holding it all together, and they see something in the darkness, and they're afraid. But then the Lord speaks to them, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. And for a split second, Peter gets it, and he says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Yeshua said. So Peter went out over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Yeshua. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, which means he took his eyes off the Lord and put his eyes on the situation. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And he shouted, save me, Lord. And Yeshua immediately reached out and grabbed him and said, you have so little faith, why did you doubt me? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. He could have stopped the wind before he got there. He could have made sure that they saw him so that he wasn't afraid, but he showed up in the storm. He showed up at the moment they were expecting the enemy. He showed up at the moment at the height of their fear. Fear not. It's me, says the Lord. In the middle of your storm, whatever it is, whatever has happened to you, whatever you think the enemy's done to you, whatever the world's done to you, whatever you've done to yourself, in the middle of the storm, listen. There's his voice. Fear not. It's me. And have the courage to stand up in the boat and say, Lord, bid me come. But unlike Peter, don't take your eyes off of him. Don't put your eyes on the storm and the wind and the waves. David, I don't know how David did it. David was an amazing man, a complex man, a troubled man. But he was a man after God's own heart. When he wrote in Psalm 23, this is from the Amplified. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. Why was he not afraid? Did it mean that there wasn't danger? No, there was a lot of danger. The valley he was talking about was incredibly violent, dangerous, criminal activity, people murdered. But he wasn't afraid because he knew who was with him. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid right now? And whatever your situation is, why are you afraid? Is he with you? If he's not with you, I want to know why. Because when did you walk away? When did you get off the path he was on with you? Get back to where he is. Walk with him. If he's with you, you must be with him. You must be in agreement with him. You cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You cannot be hooked up with the world. You cannot be in agreement with the fallen and the fallen world system. You can't have sin in your life and think it's okay. You can't do the things you're doing and think God's okay with you, and you're not going to pay a price. Lawlessness abounds in this world, and do not come into agreement with it. If you're sitting in a church that has decided the Bible is not contemporary enough, it's not up to date, they're going to change the rules, they're going to accept sin, they're going to acknowledge things and allow things that are in contradiction to the Word of God, get out of that building. Get away from that shepherd. Well, you know, it's the only thing I disagree with. I agree with everything else. Everything else is null and void based on that. And don't go back. Maybe you're going to struggle a little bit in a home fellowship or whatever you do. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll go back to where I came from. That's like a dog going back to his vomit. You've spit it up. Move on from it. You cannot have shared values with something that is not of God. You can't do it. You can't be in partnership with it. The fire of the upper room, the fire that was given to us, the fire of the Holy Spirit is a holy fire. And it's a personal fire that came directly from the creator of the universe, from the throne room itself. It proceeded from him, which means it's pure. And it is sent so that we can walk in this fallen world and do the work of the kingdom and to prepare for that final fire that will purge everything, but that won't touch us. And I will tell you something unequivocally. We need that fire. During these times of deception, and disability, we need you in those times. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need those things. Father, I come to you now in the name of your Son. I come to you in the name above all names. I thank you, I praise you, I worship you, I adore you. For those families that need healing, I pray for healing. For those relationships that need restoration, I pray for restoration. for those spouses, men and women, whoever they are that are holding on, praying for their husband or their wife to either come to the Lord or get back in right relationship with him. I pray that your spirit would minister to them and you'd send your angels. Heal what needs to be healed. Fix what needs to be fixed. Lord, I pray for the believers all over the world that are being persecuted right now, possibly even being murdered because they believe in you. Comfort them, protect them, save them. I pray that every hidden thing be revealed, every deception, every deceit, every scam, every cover. I pray all the false teachers, all the wolves in sheep's clothing, the false prophets, I pray that they would be revealed. I pray that your children would have eyes to see them for what they are and ears to hear the deception and reject them. I pray that they would drink pure water. Water from your well and none other. I pray if they don't have the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and all that they need to endure and to walk and to live and to do, I pray that they would receive it right now, that the fire from the throne room would fall on them. Meet their needs, Lord. Meet them where they're at. Whatever their finances are, as with this ministry, give us what we need. Give us our daily bread. Give us the fullness so that we can do what you'd call us to do, to be a blessing to others, to lay hands on the sick, to preach the gospel, to go. Those bound in fear, I bind that fear and the source of that fear. I pray it be revealed. I pray it be ripped up from the root. And that you'd be filled with faith, immeasurable, overflowing faith. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the empty tomb. And I thank you for the upper room. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Send me those questions. Send me those topics. If you do write me. It may take me a little while to get back to you. Been a little tied up over the last month, but I am catching up, I promise you. I appreciate you. I'm here for you as best I can from a distance. I will do whatever you need to do it. I will stand with you if no one else will. And if you're in a deep, deep, dark, demonic, supernatural situation, and I can come to help you and bring my team or at least bring part of it, whoever the Lord has me bring, I will come. There is no power on earth that would keep me from coming and standing with you in his name. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom.